in the offering plate as it comes by later in worship. We're grateful to have Bill and Celeste leading us in worship today. The Shukos, who are going to be our Advent candle lighters, are not feeling well, so we're grateful to John Krinke, who's filling in for them today. And we're grateful for Phil Chrisman, who will be leading our adult formation class after worship, after fellowship time. We'll gather for that. The Board of Music and Arts has been leading a series on Advent music, which will be next week, Advent art last week, and today is poetry. So we hope you will join Phil downstairs after the bake sale, and Carolyn's going to tell you a little bit about the bake sale.
We have goodies downstairs. There's over 50 items, but there's over 50 people in here, so you're going to want to get down there fast. But we hope that you will enjoy and the treats that our bakers have made, and we have a few other little Christmas odds and ends in case you haven't quite finished your Christmas shopping. I, for one, have just begun my Christmas shopping, and that's early for me, but for those of you who plan ahead, you might find a few things down there. We have a great selection of Christmas children's books, too. So stop by and check it out and take some things home and donate to the American Baptist Women's Missions Group. Thanks.
As you get ready for Christmas today, the bake sale, we want to name that we have our two Christmas Eve services that are coming right up. We have one at 3:30. Note that time change. It's been at 4 for the last few years, but it's at 3:30 this year. That service is an intergenerational service called the Nativity Story. We'll watch the story come to life. It's a little less than an hour, and it happens all before dark. So if you like to drive home in daylight, you can. And then we have our 7:30 Lessons and Carols service. That is comes from the King's College service of carols, and so our sanctuary choir has been very busy preparing for that. We hope that you will join us at 3:30 and or at 7:30 on Christmas Eve. And now, will you join Celeste in the responsive call to worship just inside your bulletin?
We rejoice in the God who does wondrous things. Let us worship now with joy.
Thank you.
Please pray with me. Holy God, be with us this Advent season and fill us with excitement and joyful anticipation that we may be more mindfully present and connected to you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. It's kind of disappointing that Luke and Jack are sick this morning because there's nothing more exciting than putting high school boys in charge of fire. Nevertheless, I'm with you. And if you're a young person today, even if you maybe are back from college, we have a pretty exciting discussion this morning in youth group after church about interruptions. My worship service has suddenly been interrupted, and I hope you can interrupt your morning and join us. If you're back from college and you want to join us, you can, but only if your brothers and sisters say you can. All right, here's the third candle. The third candle of Advent is for joy. As a poet once wrote, "Let joy keep you. Reach out your hands and take it when it runs by. Joy, joy always, joy everywhere. Come, Lord Jesus, and be our joy."
This morning is Psalm 146. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, who made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord watches over the immigrant.
Praise the Lord.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom, like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of God for the people of God.
Sunday, we're learning a new verse. I want to read the words to you of our next verse. Longing for shelter, many are homeless. Longing for warmth, many are cold. Make us your building, sheltering others, walls made of living stone. Do you remember during the stewardship time where we ended up having that big church building made of balloons? Do you remember when all those big balloons here? We were talking about how we are living stones that create warm and safe places to be. There were people who were sleeping right outside, our friends sleeping right outside under our portico last night, and it was so cold. That longing. These words are so true. Longing, remember we said, is when we really want something to be true. That there is enough shelter for everyone. That everyone has a place to live. That there is a warm place to be. We think that's important. And God does too. Make us a building, sheltering others. So here's what we're going to do. When we sing that verse all together in just a second, I'd love for us to stand up and hold hands. Kind of like a building. Or a space to be in that is like shelter. Could you try that? Let's do that. You're already doing that. Standing up. Let's make sure everybody can get in here. Yeah. So we're going to sing this, and then we're going to move our bodies. So we're going to start by holding hands. And then that part where it says, longing for warmth. Can we do a big hug again like we did last week, but this time for warmth? And then we'll hold our hands again. And then as we sing about being living stones, let's lift our hands up. As a shelter and a warm place to be, a loving place to be. It's so important. So we're all going to sing together our fourth verse. You can find it in your bulletin, the fourth verse. Longing for shelter, many are homeless. Longing for warmth, many are cold. Make us your building, sheltering others. Walls made of living stone. That's us. And then we'll sing the verse and the refrain after that, where we put our hands up above our heads. We'll do that part together. Will you all sing now verse 4 together? All right. So it be so. Can we say that together? May it be so. Amen. All right, let's head to church school together.
Let's pray together. All-powerful, always loving, and ever confounding God, our prayers to you on this third Sunday of Advent. In this bleak-looking season of the year, we look to you as the light that shines in our darkness, as a spring that flows within our desert places, and as the voice of welcome in a too often dangerous world. We thank you for the hope we carry in our hearts because of your gift to us in the person of the Christ child, born in a common stable so many years ago in such an unexpected way, to usher in a new age of faith and to guide us into the life and work of building your kingdom here on earth. We are in a season of waiting, because that is what Advent is about, awaiting our annual celebration of the birth of the Christ child, whose entry into our world, into our lives, has the power to change everything toward the good. But we confess, we are not very patient people. We might blame it on our culture, which, if we are honest, is really only a reflection of us, a kind of zeitgeist that glorifies the immediate and places a premium on the convenient. Teach us, O God, the gift of faithful patience and hopeful expectation. Sometimes we are tempted to despair. I mean, it all seems so hopeless. So many things are wrong in our world today. Wars without end, corruption among leaders we are asked to trust, and unending inequity that flies in the face of any realistic hope for justice and peace. Help us to keep hope alive. In this season, we do find ourselves focused again on our needs. And they are many, Lord. We who have grown weary of disappointment have hardened our hearts against the advent of more pain that we cannot prevent or control. It is easier to tell ourselves that the beliefs of faith we might once have held as children cannot hold sway in the real world. We've been taught to wise up. But grant that it is not too late for us, O God, in this Advent season, to once again hear the song of the angels, turn to the promise of the ages, and follow the star again to our Bethlehem, to find and follow and worship the Christ of Christmas, who is making all things new. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. And now, God, as is our custom, we turn to pray for those whom we know to pray for by name who have special needs among us. We pray for Dee Drake, Bob Reynolds, John Vandervliet, for Rick Zimmerman, Erica Deals, Chuck Suits, Marilyn McKenzie. We pray for Keith Pickleman, Marlene Francis, Roberta House, Betty Doman, Mervyn Ucarts, and Esther Floyd. We pray for Marilyn Marsh, Betty Frieswick, Tommy Orlando, Dakota Lawson, Helga Mortensen, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Maurer, Beth Granbury. We pray for Margaret, for Kathy, for Mary, and for Sarah. We pray for Martha, and we pray for the Pastoral Search Committee. And now in the silence of these moments, in the stillness of this space, and in your presence in this setting, we pray silently for those concerns we carry privately in our own hearts. We pray, O God, lifting all of these things to you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, praying together the prayer he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hear now a reading from the Gospel of Luke containing the grateful song of Mary. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." The word of God for the people of God. So I invite you, imagine the scene. It is early evening, somewhere in late 20th century America. A young man and woman, a couple, appear alone together just outside a convenience store. We know it's late 20th century, or maybe early 21st century America, because he is on a payphone and holding a large paper phone book. Remember those? Young people, just ask your parents or anybody under 30, over 30. She is, as they say, very pregnant. Clearly late term. And she perches a bit precariously on the edge of one of those old-fashioned coin-operated mechanical horses. You remember those? Again, young people, just, you know, imagine. But there she is, wearing an undersized hooded sweatshirt from Nazareth High School. She bears a worried look as she holds her stomach and looks out into the distance. Like the young man with her, she is brown-skinned, in jeans and sneakers. They don't appear to be people of means. He, with his young man's goatee and ball cap askew, is wearing a tight-fitting parka, a shield against the cooling weather. He sports the standard blue shirt of a working man, with his name stenciled across the breast, Jose. In the distance there across the street, you can see a lighted neon sign for Dave's City Motel. The lighted sign beaming in the distance and the neon sign blinking below it, "No vacancy." And then stenciled below that, the words, "New manger." The A from the word manager clearly missing. A single backpack sits forlornly there at the feet of the couple. Could it hold all of their possessions? And finally, in an otherwise really bleak picture of muted blues and grays, there's something just astounding. There, growing up in a seam in the concrete between them, is a green sprout. A single green sprout has pushed through, almost unnoticed, and yet unmistakably, persistently there, like some sign of hope in an otherwise dismal scene. I base my word picture on the work of the artist Everett Patterson, whose 2014 Christmas card is entitled simply Jose and Maria, depicting, in his words, Jesus' parents within a modern setting. It is, I think, powerful for many reasons, but maybe primarily because it makes crystal clear the social location of the carpenter Joseph and his young wife Mary. They are not members of the ruling class. Within the Roman Empire, they were minority members. They were a foreign culture. They looked like immigrants. Were they illegals? Homeless? Criminals? Well, for sure, they were marginalized, vulnerable, and poor. This scene I've described takes place well after the signal event that is our focus in the text for today. Our gospel text, the Song of Mary, or Magnificat, expresses her response very early in her pregnancy to the astounding news that the God of the universe chose her, a nobody peasant girl from nowhere, to be the agent of God's most important work, to be the Theotokos, God-bearer, or as our Catholic friends might say, Mother of God. The basic idea that the Messiah or Christ would come through the guise of a servant, a slave, really, not via a queen or princess, is topped only by the notion that this long-awaited Savior would bring about a social revolution which would cast down the mighty and raise up the humble, like Mary. Astounding! And yet, also consistent with the message of the many Hebrew prophets over the preceding centuries. As you may recall, if you were here for last week's sermon, Isaiah foretold that a new ruler in the time of David would emerge like a green shoot from a dead stump, tender, fragile, yet relentless, to turn everything on its head and make all things new. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's fade back in time some 9 months or so prior to the scene outside the convenience store. Maria, or Mary, has heard from the angel Gabriel that she will bear the long-hoped-for Messiah, and she has given her astonished yes. But not yet married, and now pregnant, in a patriarchal society, she found herself dangerously alone. And so what does she do? She flees to the hill country of Judea to be with her cousin Elizabeth, toward refuge, toward sanctuary. There in the home of Elizabeth, who was well past childbearing age and yet somehow pregnant herself, Mary found just what she needed: hospitality. She found welcome. She found safety. Elizabeth gathers and enfolds Mary. She welcomes her. She blesses her. And in response to Elizabeth's blessing, Mary sings. And oh, how she sings! My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowly state of this servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. Mary magnifies the Lord. And she begins with God's actions in her life. She recognizes with awe that not only Elizabeth, but all generations will call her blessed. Blessed. Now, in our culture, the notion of feeling blessed has become really popular, both in person and online. Blessed or blessed, for many reasons, might mean today living a happy life and having things go well for you, celebrating moments when kind of everything seems like it's going well. But the blessedness of Mary stands in stark contrast to that cultural connotation. By popular standards, she does not look blessed at all. She's low income, unmarried, pregnant, living in disgrace. And she will learn in time that being the mother of the Messiah is no cakewalk. She will endure terrible grief, watching her son be rejected, shamed, crucified. But despite all of this, Mary praises God for honoring her because she believes in God's mission. This, friends, is real faith. And that's why Luke rightly treats Mary as the prophet she is. Mary's celebration of God's blessing recalls an earlier story, the story of Hannah, way, way back, 1,000 years earlier, during the time of King David, well before Jesus' birth. Hannah, you may remember, the mother of Samuel, who eventually anointed David, foretold that her son would speak God's word powerfully and lead his people back to God. Both Hannah and Mary had songs to sing. They both sang praises to God for overturning society's structures by bringing down the powerful, lifting up the powerless. Mary sings of revolution. Just listen. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Mary sings about a God who saves not just souls, but embodied people. God fills the hungry not only with hope, but with food. Mary's God does not sanction a pause to SNAP benefits or let healthcare subsidies expire or threaten to terminate unpaid workers. Rather than being satisfied with comforting the lowly, Mary's Lord lifts them up, granting them dignity and honor, a seat at the table, and a voice in the conversation. God shows strength by disrupting the world's power structures, dethroning rulers, humbling the mighty. Some of that might be pretty good right about now. This is what is foretold. This is not what has yet come to pass. And so I ask us, where do we fit in? While Mary's song is one of hope and joy, there's just no way to avoid the fact that there is a barb located within this good news. The good news that God is restoring the human family. Here again, Mary's words, God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away. The barb is this. Most of us fall into that category of the full and the rich who could be sent away empty, empty-handed. Clearly, Mary's is a song for the least and the last. And yet, Mary envisioned a restoration for the whole human family, for everybody. So what does that mean for us? It means that we are called to actively engage in the mission, in God's work of restoration. The way we join in the song is to find our ways to sing the verses, to lift up the lowly, to fill the hungry, to restore the disenfranchised. The question is, am I Mary in need of empowerment and welcome? Or am I Elizabeth, able to offer a helping hand with a willing heart and open arms? Either way, one receives the full blessing of God. Just over 100 years ago, an American Baptist minister left us with a powerful example of how God's people can practice what's known as the social gospel. Walter Rauschenbusch believed Christianity's purpose is to spread the kingdom of God now by transforming life here on earth. As pastor in New York's Hell's Kitchen about a century ago, urban poverty and an epidemic of child funerals led him to embrace social activism. For him, the church must fight systemic injustices among all groups and for each person within its scope. Whoever uncouples the religious life and the social life has not understood Jesus, he wrote. Sounds like an echo to me of Mary's song. Maybe we risk growing insensitive to what theologian Paul Tillich called, quoting, the infinite tension between the reality of Jesus' death and the joy of his resurrection, between the horrors of the world as it is and the hope we maintain. It's true, we can't do this by ourselves. Only the Messiah can bring birth out of death. Only God can turn the world upside down to make all things right again. This is the blessing in Mary's song, and she learned to sing it. Friends, we can sing it too. Because the deal is that God's blessing will not leave you alone. And why? Because it desires you to be the sanctuary for others that you once found and knew for yourself. To tell what you have heard, to do what you know in your heart is right and true, to live the good news of Mary's song. That, friends, is our challenge and our opportunity. And may it be so. And may it be so. Amen. As children of the living God, who grants us more than we can ever ask or think, we now come to a time in our service when we can present our tithes, our offerings, our very selves, as signs of our faith and love. Let us give generously. God, we ask that you receive these, our gifts, and bless them to the building of your kingdom and us to the work you entrust to us by faith. Amen. And now, friends, as forgiven God, let us greet one another with a sign of peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
Good morning. On this Sunday that we celebrate joy, it's fitting that I have opportunity to bring you a joyous update from the Pastoral Search Committee. We continue to meet every week for 2 hours. We will take a quick break on the week right before Christmas to catch up on our work for the second interviews that are upcoming. We have candidates that have made it through the first virtual interviews, and we are working on bringing them here to Ann Arbor for in-person interviews in January. Between now and then, our work will concentrate on developing our interview questions and itineraries for those on-site days. Our team continues to be very excited and optimistic, not just about next steps, but on the call of our next pastor. So thank you again for all of your prayers and support.
And now, friends, may the God who loves you far more than you can know, who renews your faith, restores your hope, be with you to guide you on your journey, to empower your purpose, and to guard your souls. Go now to love and serve the Lord. Go in good courage. Amen and amen.